it's about roots, and the deeper they run, the further they'll take you, whether it's food, drink, agriculture, or even music. These are roots which sustain a culture. I'm Melissa Corbin of Corbin and the Dell, a travel show for those who give a damn. Follow me as I travel and search for folks who make their corner of this big old world of ours so unique. It's almost Thanksgiving, y'all. So you've got the turkey in its brine. You've made, hopefully, the final trip to the store. And hopefully, in one of those trips, you picked up a bag of fresh cranberries. Now, I want you to flip it around, look at the label. Somewhere, I'll be willing to bet you can trace these little gems back to Wisconsin. 60% of the nation's crop is grown right in Wisconsin. And while we're talking stats, more than 400 million pounds of cranberries are consumed yearly in the U.S., with 20% of it right in the middle of this week. I'm spicing it up this year for Thanksgiving with salsa, as opposed to relish or sauce. You can find my recipe over on the blog, but thought I'd share the process with you. So first things first, you know you got a fresh berry by its pop. If it's mushy, save those for jelly. More on this recipe at the break. I toured a cranberry marsh up at Vilas County Cranberry Farm in Wisconsin. They call them marshes, y'all, because a bog, yeah, that's where you hide the bodies. All joking aside, I headed out to those marshes where I learned everything about cranberry farming from local grower Bob Winter. He's had over 30 years of experience. Listen in as he shared a little of those experiences with us. I'm talking with Bob Winters. He is the owner and farmer for Vilas Cranberry Farm. Bob, tell me about the history of how you come to farm this area.
Well, back in 1972, I had some college friends that suggested I should come up and try cranberry harvest. So that was my first experiencing cranberries back in 1972. I helped the original owners of this property farm or harvest their crop, and it was quite the educational experience. At the end of it, the owner asked me if I wanted a job, and I graciously declined. However, several years later, he was persistent, and I was living in the central part of the state, and he asked me one more time. He said, why don't you come up and try it for one growing season? And, well, that was 40 years ago, so here I am. So.
And what were you doing before you were farming cranberries?
I was living in central Wisconsin. I was actually in the Carpenters Union there. So, but I had gone to school in the University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point, and I was studying water resource management originally, and one thing led to the next. I end up being a carpenter, and from a carpenter, I end up being a cranberry farmer. So life's funny.
Speaking about water management, there was a lot of talk this morning about how you irrigate the fields and where you're pulling the water from and how it's affecting the streams in a positive sense. Talk to me a little bit about the process of farming cranberries.
Well, in general, cranberries are unique to North America. In fact, they're one of three native fruits that are from North America. One's cranberry, one's Concord grape, and the other one's blueberries. So everything else that you eat was brought here from somewhere else. But as far as cranberry farming, the cranberry plant itself is a perennial plant. In other words, we don't replant it every year. In fact, some of the original beds on this property are going 50, 60 years old, and they're still producing. So they do need a period of dormancy, so consequently they tend to grow in cooler climates where you do actually have winter weather. Now they can grow in milder ones, such as in Oregon and Washington State, but there, instead of being protected in the wintertime by flooding them and freezing them in ice like we do here, they are more susceptible to having to put water on when it gets cold to protect them and then take the water off, then put the water back on. So in my opinion, it's easier living in northern Wisconsin where you get real cold weather and you freeze them in ice, and that's where they stay for 4 or 5 months. Mm-hmm. But basically, they come out of that ice in the spring. They begin to wake up in mid to late May. They actually start probably growing in earnest in early June. And then you have about a four-month growing season there where you get them into bloom period by late June, early July, get them pollinated at that point, and then they set up berries in the month of August and September grow, and by late September you start harvesting.
We've got a little bit of breeze going on right now, and I would assume there are oftentimes even more breeze because we're close to a lake, and I'm looking across the tree line here, and you said that there is a Native American reserve over there?
The Lac des Flambeaux Indian Reservation is directly adjacent to our property, and it shares... a common body of water that we use as our water source, along with the state of Wisconsin.
Talk to me about how Wisconsin is protecting you cranberry farmers with the water supply.
Well, the water, in Wisconsin, there's a law that, it's a cranberry water rights law. I believe it's from the 1800s. And what it basically says is you can't deny a cranberry grower access to water. Now, that doesn't mean you can do whatever you want with the water. You have to return it in as good a shape as you possibly can. You can't divert it and use it for something else. But to farm your cranberry farm, you can use the water, which is kind of a unique law, obviously, and probably nationally, really. It was encouraged the cranberry industry to flourish in Wisconsin. That's probably one of the main factors, and the fact that we have a fair amount of ag land available. But cranberries need, they prefer it to be in a setting where the water table isn't too far below the surface. So initially they were all developed in wetlands, but as time went on and the EPA decided that they didn't want development in wetlands, the cranberry farmers moved out of the wetland areas and actually moved into what we called upland sites, where the sand is more basically sandy soil. And they found out that once they learned how to grow them in that sandy soil, they're actually easier to take care of. So it was kind of a win-win. We got in a debate with the EPA that our argument was that we're actually creating wetlands. But we knew we were never going to win that argument, so we didn't pursue it and went into upland production. And that's pretty much where the industry is today.
So instead of wetlands, we kind of have moist lands?
Yeah, we got cranberry marshland, right. it's a debatable, subject, I think. We do attract a lot of wildlife because, when the cranberry beds are flooded with water and so forth, and the canals that we create, our wetlands in their own right, we have a lot of, wetland species here, herons, cranes, ducks, geese. So, it's not too far of a stretch to say that we are a wetland, but again, we didn't want to waste our time arguing with the EPA, so we didn't.
Now, I don't know how to quite put this. I'm just going to say it. If it burns when you pee, you know what a saving grace cranberries can offer. Bob and I talk UTIs, wildlife, and all the sorts. You were saying a little earlier about you don't have an awful lot of wildlife coming in and bothering the cranberries.
We have a lot of wildlife on the farm, but nothing that really is devastating to the cranberry crop itself. Now we're in northern Wisconsin. In central Wisconsin, where the deer populations may be more concentrated, most, of the growers down there will actually have deer fences around their property to keep them off. But up here, if I come out at night and start this irrigation system up, I may see 2, 3, 4 deer. Now, down south, they probably see significantly higher numbers. And the biggest damage that they really do is when they run through the beds, when the fruit's on, they kick it off. Mm. It's not like they're actually out there grazing on it. So.
Oh, so your deer, do they struggle with UTIs just like we do?
Hopefully not. We've got good, healthy deer here. But there was a chronic wasting disorder thing in the deer population in the southern part of the state around Madison. And when they started to try and contain that, they banned people from feeding deer in their yards, which is a common practice up here and in other parts of the state. But in northern Wisconsin, a lot of people have deer feeders in the yard because they like to see the deer come in and feed them. Mm-hmm. Well, when they put that ban into effect, well, guess what? Then I did see more deer out on the cranberry farm at night, not still so much grazing on them, but curious. So within that short period of time, they changed their they were looking to change their eating habits, but fortunately they got the chronic wasting question answered, and they allowed the people to go continue feeding them, and as long as my neighbors are feeding them, I won't have to. So
now Bob gave me the idea for this year's cranberry recipe. When you're preparing the salsa, keep in mind the heat. You don't want to cook the berries too long, or they'll lose their texture and become sauce. Also mind your Scoville heat. If you prefer mild salsas, remove the seeds and ribs from your peppers. Also, it's a thick salsa, so in the recipe it calls for draining the water off the cranberries. If you prefer a little bit runnier salsa, keep a little of that water in it. But at any rate, here we go. You're going to bring your 2 cups of berries and 2 cups of water to a boil. Just as the berries begin to pop, turn the heat off and drain the water. That way you're going to keep it more firm like a cranberry should be. Now stir in about 1/4 cup of sugar over medium heat until the sugar dissolves. Remove the mixture from the heat. Stir in 1/2 cup of cilantro, a chopped serrano or jalapeno. Remember to take those ribs and seeds out if you don't like it too hot. And 1/2 red onion chopped. Then you're going to add the zest of an orange and lime. And if you like it extra citrusy, that's a tongue twister, go ahead and squeeze a little of juice in there to taste. Finish with 1/2 teaspoon of salt and 1 few cracks of fresh black pepper. You're going to mix this well and let cool before refrigerating. That's it. You can expect about 2 cups of this fresh salsa, and it should keep for about 1 week. Now let's hear how Bob likes his cranberries.
So we're right at the beginning of the harvest season, which I would assume goes from the end of September to the end, beginning November, end of October.
Yeah, mid to late October, we were typically done up here. It's about 3.5-4 week period for us.
And then Thanksgiving and Christmas and all of the holidays happen. That's when I would assume a good portion of fresh cranberries are eaten.
Yeah, fresh cranberries, that market hasn't changed significantly since when it started. It was, fresh fruit was always associated with Thanksgiving and Christmas, and still is, you know. That's a big push for marketing time and advertising. But cranberries have become a year-round consumption thing now with the juice and sweetened dried cranberries and so forth.
And what's your favorite way to consume the cranberries?
I like cranberry sauce with a good turkey dinner, personally.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So none of the cranberry barbecue sauce and that sort of thing?
My favorite thing, one of my other favorites, is actually cranberry salsa. It's a manufactured salsa, but it's good on chicken. Mm-hmm. You can glaze it over on pork tenderloin on the grill. You can use it as a chip dip. It's pretty good.
Well, I really appreciate your time here today, and your farm is just beautiful, Bob. Thank you.
Well, thank you for coming out. It was my pleasure.
Here's to finding roots up in North Woods, Wisconsin.
As you're sitting around the Thanksgiving table this year, make sure to hug on each other. Lord knows we got enough fussing in the world right now. I, for one, am thankful for my roots and the sense of place those roots give me. The music today was recorded live at the chapel on the campus of Lawrence University in Appleton, Wisconsin, by Wisconsin's own Corey Chisel. You never know where I'll turn up next, so follow me on Instagram at Mel Corbin and Twitter at MD Corbin. I'm Melissa Corbin. Until next time, may your roots run deep, your travels take you far, and may you make memories to last you a lifetime. Hey, happy Thanksgiving, y'all.